Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every taking us in, I appreciate it. Each and every day, Kelly and I appreciate you making us part of your morning. We never take that for granted. Happy holidays to you and yours, no matter what you're celebrating. In the rare Christmas Hanukkah falling on the same day, Kiniella. If you had that, it cashes big for you. Cashes bigly. That rarely happens. I don't remember Hanukkah going into January ever in my life. I'm sure it happened once or twice, but it's the rare Christmas Hanukkah double. So happy holidays to you and yours. May it be a prosperous one, as they say. We will have our top 10 Christmas songs. We will do this before the show ends, I promise you, with honorable mentions as well. Top 10 Christmas jams of all time coming up on the show. Bill Connolly, who does college football analytics for ESPN. We will get his thoughts on what his numbers say ought to be the national champion, or at least who the favorite is, among all his thoughts on the quarterfinals, obviously, which are coming up on New Year's Eve Day and New Year's Day itself. We'll all be here on a numbers game as well to talk about those. Before we get to Will Hill, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Dell Mind the Gap Radio. Off the beaten path, he says, the future heads. Christmas was better in the 80s. I'm unfamiliar with that one, by the way. Kevin Ryan, Gil, thanks yet again for another fantastic year of ANG. I only missed a handful of shows, and those were ones where you were on vacation. Nothing against the guest host, but the words, if I came to you from the future and matriculate, were never spoken. Yes, but remember when I left and Ben Wilson started with the Iga Swiatek hate that one day? Oh, that was the incident. We know that as the incident. That and Emerson. Primetime, Cowboys _Cubs1. Yo, hey, man. Yo, hey man, happy Festivus. I got a lot of problems with you people, Kelly included. Let's start with that list. Thank you, Primetime. I'm not going to read the rest of it. Jason McKinney, because, you know, it telegraphs a pass. Jason McKinney, the responses to your top 10 list is why I've decided not to bet the awards market anymore. Still on tilt from Jackson Merrill and Ashton Jeanty bets not cashing. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. Ashton Jeanty, the closest Heisman vote since 2009. We couldn't quite get there. John Fitzgibbons, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, everyone. Gilly Kelly, thank you for another great ANG year filled with great information and analysis and laughs. All the best to you and your families this holiday season. To you as well, John. And Sam Ginsberg from Pittsburgh, PA, says your list, your Christmas list, obviously carries a great deal of gravitas. Who knew a Jewish guy with a Christmas song list could upset more people than he could by discussing a bet on the election? It's very true. People are very angry about the Christmas list. Anthony Tritolo, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. I hope Sinatra made the list. I don't know if he did. Chance Copperpot, every year I at you with Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto as my favorite Christmas song, and it's still not on your list. I'll do it again next year to Gil. Snoop Dogg, Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto. Yeah, that did not make my list as well. There is some movement on the list from year to year. It's not a tremendous amount of movement, but there is some movement. Ladies and gentlemen, he is celebrating the holiday as well from his spot up there in Connecticut. It's the great Will Hill, the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, and he will be joining me after this show. Man, he's doing double duty because we're doing the Megapod early Christmas week Megapod with Matt Brown, Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and myself. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? Happy holidays, happy Hanukkah. I'm a huge numbers game fan, not just a part of the show, which I'm grateful for. I'm not familiar with this. The incident. What was the incident? You said Emerson or Everson? Is it Patrick Everson? What happened?
No. The incident that we were talking about this morning. What did I say the incident was today? I already forgot.
You said something with Emerson. I don't know. I must have missed that one.
Yeah, I don't know what I said there. Thanks for asking though, Will. I appreciate it. Thanks for doubling down on that. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing for the holidays? You and the family do something special? You have 17 children, I believe it is. So you must be doing something special.
And the best thing about children is it's an excuse to go nowhere. Hey, can't go anywhere. We have the kids. So it's just we stay home, cook, eat, watch the games, and it's nice. As people say, it does go by quickly as you start to look back at past years. Like, man, that was 5 years ago. That was 4 years ago. As you know, I have an issue with things just flying by. I think you've made this point ever since COVID, man. Time just kind of flies by, and time gets kind of mushed together. But yeah, I'll be home cooking, eating, watching the game. So excited. Very light sports day today. My goodness, that South Florida San Jose State game is going to have through the roof handle tonight.
It will have through the roof handle, and you have a play on this as well. Yes.
Yeah, I like the points. I like South Florida getting the three here. I've watched San Jose State quite a bit. And this is what kind of stinks about bowl season now. Nick Nash is just an incredible receiver for San Jose State. So much fun to watch. I guess this will be like a second, third round pick in the NFL. I actually think he'll be a steal at that draft slot. Problem is he's not going to play tonight. So if you're, you know, just like an NFL fan, hey, I don't watch much college. I want to throw the game on and see this kid Nash. Well, too bad. You're not going to see him. And I think not only like the production on the field, but he just commands so much attention, double teams, you know, shade the safeties over, that kind of thing, where him not on the field, I just think their offense is going to look a lot different. They're not very good defensively. The threes are valuable in college football. We talk about this every bowl season and every NFL preseason. These low lines, 1.5, 2.5, 3, where you think, the game's not going to land on like 1 or 2. If you're down 7 late, a lot of these teams, it didn't happen yesterday, which was interesting in overtime. But when you're down 7 late and you score a touchdown and it's the the Hawaii Bowl, a lot of teams are just going to go for 2 and the game's going to land on 1 either way. Or if there's enough time for a field goal on the other hand, it's going to land on 2. So getting these low lines it can be valuable taking the points. And if you just think, hey, I'll lay the 1.5, 2, 2.5, not going to land on 1 or 2, you're probably better off just taking the money line. But I do like the South Florida Bulls tonight getting the 3.
We are oppo on that one, sir, but that wouldn't be that wouldn't be the first time, because yesterday, by the way, I don't know how many people watched this bowl game, the Northern Illinois Fresno game yesterday, which we're on this again. Will and I are on with Wishnev, Fezzik, and Felico on a group text. And we probably, between the five of us, seemed like we had like 50 bets and nobody knew what anybody else was on in this game. But it was just, I mean, the ultimate plinko of college football bowl games, with Northern Illinois somehow winning in overtime by 8.
Classic.
But you made a great bet in there, which I want to, you know, pinpoint for people, because we usually talk about this stuff on the Megapod, maybe not so often here on a numbers game, which is Fresno's kicker had already displayed that he was not good at kicking a football through 2 goalposts. And Fresno was about to kick a chip shot field goal to try to win this game late. And you were like, hey, I'll take a flyer on Northern Illinois. What number did you get at that moment?
Plus 600. It was, I'm looking at it. And look, it was Fresno State. Yeah, they're lining up for, a makeable kick. But like you pointed out, they weren't making their kick. So this idea that a college kicker is just an automatic from, you know, high 30s, low 40s is just not the case. It's not the NFL where, he's just going to bang that through 80, 90% of the time plus. And these live lines are just not always accurate. So that was one that that got home, fortunately. But yeah, these live lines are interesting late in the game. And I noticed this something, and I was going to bring this up on the Megapod. I'll bring it up now. I think it was Seattle, Minnesota. It was the first quarter, because these live lines, I can never quite understand like the movement and the price. I'm sure there's reason behind it, but Seattle was punting from their own their own 40 first quarter. The live line 7.5. The punt gets down at like the 15, and then it moves to 6.5. Like, where were you expecting the punt? How is a halfway decent punt worth a point? I know that sometimes in baseball too, where it'll be like bases loaded, 2 out, high leverage situation, and the count goes to 1-0, and the line will go from like minus 200 to minus 235. Like, how is a ball worth 35 cents? So I just think it's fascinating sometimes watching these play-by-play and just watching the corresponding line movement.
I respect your game, Will. 17 kids, and yet you're vigilant with the lines at all moments in every game. I respect that tremendously. But I think that point, the one about making the 6-1 bet, is such a good one. There are so many little opportunities. Now, that one happened to work out. Sometimes they don't. But and by the way, I only got a plus 350 at that very same time, so good on you for getting a 6-1. But those opportunities exist. You know, if you're obviously, if you have a, you know, if you're doing other things in life, you're not going to be there at all times to be on top of that. But in this, when it was just a standalone day, you know, Monday afternoon football game, it was awesome to cash in on that. Speaking of random games, so obviously everybody's focused on the college football playoff. We do have bowl games beyond today, obviously, as well. And it gets really, you know, sort of mayhem-y this weekend. Tons of games, tons of bowl games Friday, tons on Saturday. Vanderbilt plays on Friday. You have the under in the Vanderbilt game?
Yeah, this has always been not quite March Madness level, but one of my favorite times of the year, the bowl season. Always, like, even back in, you know, high school, college, you're off from school. You could just kind of veg out and watch football all day, all night. Great time of the year. And awesome. It's hurt a little bit by the playoff with these opt-outs and all that. It's been canalized a little bit. But, yeah, I do like the under 51.5. I just think Georgia Tech, really good defensively. They played a pretty tough schedule. These are two teams I was kind of looking to play on coming into bowl season because I think they'll both be highly motivated. But Vandy's good as an under. They're good as an under team, and they're a good underdog. So they move the clock. They can't really throw the ball. Diego Pavia is, you know, is going for the what's the movie about the guy who goes to college for like 20 years? I mean, he's going to be in college for a long time. He's been in college for a long time, but they can't throw. They run the ball. So to me, this is an ugly, low scoring. I'm shocked it's as high as it is at 51.5. I think this is like a, you know, a 23-20 type of game. I do like the under 51.5 quite a bit.
And in the last North Carolina game, I'll call it Belichick BC. North Carolina and UConn and the Fenway Bowl on Saturday. You have a thought on this?
Yeah, I like UNC, and I think the fact that Belichick is overseeing things kind of has everyone on their P's and Q's here. The opt-outs have not been that bad for UNC. I know the big-time running back's not going to play, but other than that, they haven't been completely destroyed by the portal. I think coming into this game, you'd say, hey, UConn's a lot more motivated. It means more to them to win a bowl game would mean everything. Kind of their Super Bowl doesn't really matter to UNC, but UNC, it seems like it's going to matter. And look, living here in Connecticut, UConn, their football program, they just don't recruit the same kind of guys UNC has. To me, these are two teams on different levels. I think the three is a little cheap here. I know we're running up against the break, but I'm curious what you think. I don't know if you and I have talked about this either on air or off air. Do you think it's going to work with Belichick, UNC? What do you think this is going to look like?
I think it is a complete coin flip where it could work spectacularly well, or we could know very quickly, oh boy, these kids aren't responding. In a way, and I don't know if that's an age gap. I don't know if it's the fact that he's just new to college football. But in theory, because recruiting and the transfer portal is more like free agency, it should have some portent of good things to come, I guess.
I agree. I'm not betting against Michael Lombardi in a bowl game. Not going to happen.
Not going to do that. More with Will Hill on the other side. Let's talk some NFL. Coming up on A Numbers Game in Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest. And that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back at Circa, on A Numbers Game, it's Gil Alexander flying solo today. Kelly on vacation. Kelly enjoying holiday time with the family in Florida. We hope he's doing okay. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Doesn't matter that it's Christmas Eve morning, and it don't stop with the tweets. Appreciate it very much. David Lipe, hope I'm pronouncing that all right, said, please give Alone at Christmas with Phoenix and Bill Murray a listen. Bill freaking Murray, he says. Jason H11, oh, don't start this, Jason. I know, Sia said it on the way out. He says, Gilly, Die Hard takes place during a Christmas party. Sorry, Christmas movie. That Christmas song list better have Frank Dino and Nat King Cole, or you got some splaining to do. First of all, I'm not going to get into the Die Hard thing, but when you watch Die Hard for the first time, just want you to do a little truth serum. When you watch it for the first time, some of us watched in the theater when it came out. We're that old. Did you for any 1 second of it think it was a Christmas movie? Stop with that. Can't stand that debate. This is from 3Jack, H3131. It says, Happy Hanukkah to you and Merry Christmas to all. If Baby It's Cold Outside isn't on your top 10 Christmas list, then the whole list is Meshuggah. Well, I do have a brief honorable mention list, and a version of Baby I'm Cold Outside got on there. It almost made the top 10, this version of it. So I think we're still friends, 3Jack. I think we're still okay. Manny Davison, happy holidays to you and yours. I gifted myself a Washington Capitals to win the cup ticket today, 25-1 on a team who is certainly making the playoffs and may end up winning the Metro. Too good to pass up. He says, Kelly, easy on the eggnog tonight as well. Let's go, Caps. Let's rock the red. You know, here's the thing with those of us who grew up on the Caps. 44 years it took to win a Stanley Cup. If they go another 44 and they don't win it, we're kind of good. We got our cup. That's kind of how I feel about it. All right, Will Hill, kind enough to join us for a second segment from his place in Connecticut. Appreciate it. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Let's go to the NFL, Will, where we have Christmas games. We have the day after Christmas, of course, then into Saturday. And you have a bunch of plays in the NFL as well. Let me start, because I want to get to, before we get to any of that, you were kind enough to have me on the Should Have Bet More podcast, your podcast. We're all podcasts are available, everybody. And to me, the biggest, you know what I remember the most from my appearance was, you and I probably went 3 minutes on what should the Vikings do after this Sam Darnold season, you know, having J.J. McCarthy in the wings, having Daniel Jones, for goodness sake, in the wings as well. And we went 3 minutes, and the question was a sports talk radio question of, well, like, what do they do? And neither of us had an answer. Is your answer any more solidified today than it was then?
No. And I think, you know, I was thinking about that after and listening back. I think a lot of your answer is going to come down to, what is your evaluation? What is your opinion on J.J. McCarthy? If you're of the belief, hey, he's going to be one of these guys, he can even be a B-plus starter in the NFL. And look, he's got to be healthy too, which complicates it. He had like a second knee surgery. Who knows when he's going to be, you know, back and healthy and things like that. It's, man, but if you think he's going to be a B-plus starter, even like Bo Nix level, you have Jefferson, Addison, this really good team. And what's made this team good is you have a free quarterback, basically. Darnold was off the scrap heap. And where they got into trouble 5-6 years ago, they had the same sort of situation. Then they gave the big contract to Cousins. It picked away little piece here, little piece there from the rest of the team, and they just never had any success. So do you have the gall to let Darnold walk out the building? You finally have one of these guys, which is the flip side of this. Hey, it's hard to find these guys. Don't get cute once you find one. He's young enough. He's played well enough. Give him his 3 or 4 years and move on and just try to build your team around him. It's really tough. I think maybe the cop-out answer is you franchise tag him and you just kick this down the road for one more year. But again, the rookie contracts don't last forever. You pick McCarthy, you like them enough to pick him. What, 10th? You traded up a spot or two to pick him? It's a long-winded answer of saying, I don't know. I really don't know. It's an impossible spot. It's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem to have.
It is an impossible spot. I don't know what I would do, but I think I know what they're going to do. I think they're going to get rid of Darnold. I really do. Like, I just think, which is an incredible thing to say, but I have a feeling that's what they're going to do.
Well, the bidding for him is going to be, you know, there's going to be a robust market for him. I mean, teams need quarterbacks, the Jets, the Giants. The Jets would go down that road again. The Raiders, I mean, it's not a good quarterback class in terms of the draft, at least we think going in. And there's just, you know, the Titans need a quarterback. You can list 6-8 teams that need a quarterback. He's played. Boy, he's not in the MVP conversation. He's probably going to get votes, though. I mean, you're talking about a guy, he's 2 wins away from leading into like a 15-2 season in a 1 seed, and it's been a lot of him. He's right up at the top for passing yards, passing touchdowns. If he finishes like 3rd or 4th in MVP, that's not crazy. And then you're just going to say, all right, thanks for the season. We're just going to move on, and we're going to play McCarthy. It's a really tough spot.
And good for him, by the way, Darnold, because remember that the bowl game against Penn State. He was so good in that game, and then he goes into the NFL diaspora, and what a testament to Kevin O'Connell. Maybe, I mean, that's all Kevin O'Connell needs to do for his Coach of the Year resume is be like, look what I did with this guy. And so
you think that spawns another an offseason or two of teams looking for the next Darnold? Hey, let me try to fix somebody else's bust, or is this just a one off?
I'm sure teams are thinking that, but do they have the right person to make that happen? I don't think Kevin O'Connell isn't duplicated in so many spots. So,
right. And plus the supporting cast. I mean, Jefferson Addison gets overlooked because Jefferson's so good, right. But man, they're both outstanding. Two wins away from a 1 seed, 4 wins away from a Super Bowl. Not that I'm counting.
Jordan Addison from the DMV as well. Shout out to the DMV once again. Okay. Speaking of the NFL then, how dare you come on this show and fade the Commodores, but that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just doing your exercise of you look at the lines and you just have in your head or on a piece of paper what you think the line should be. Atlanta's getting 4. They were getting 5. We're saying Washington's that much better than Atlanta to me. Okay, maybe they're a smidge better, but
Yes, we are.
I mean, look, Penix played really well the other day. He had some drops. His stats could have been better. I think anytime you can move on from Cousins, your team just automatically seems to improve, which has been proven. Atlanta, look, 2 wins away from winning a division. They now control their own destiny. They got a gift from Dallas the other night. To me, this is like a field goal game. I'm surprised this is above a field goal. I thought, maybe a point and a half for home field, maybe a point and a half better. It puts you at like 3. You're getting 4 here. I think that's a lot. I'll take Atlanta here plus the point.
You're a horrible human being, but that's a different that's a different story.
You can win. We could both win.
We
can win
both
by 3.
Win. That's right. Yeah, we could both win. Not by 3. Well, I laid the 4.
How could we? Oh, you did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I sure did. Yeah. Okay, and then the Cardinals, who have been eliminated, they're taking on the Rams, who right now are in the number one spot in the NFC West. You like the Cardinals plus the points here?
Yeah, same thing. I'm getting 6. I was shocked to see a 6. I know Arizona's done and the Rams are playing for a division, but I mean, how much is that motivation worth the line? We've seen it time and again. Was the Lions on Sunday Night Football a couple of years ago when they were out of it? They beat Green Bay. There was that Colts-Jaguars game like 3 years ago. Jaguars, did I say that properly? I don't want to get in trouble here. The Colts-Jaguars game that set up the crazy tie scenario where the Jags had nothing to play for. Like, these teams play hard with nothing to play for. Sometimes it helps them where, hey, no pressure, fast and loose, fake a punt, you know, do whatever. Just be fast and loose with your play calling. I just can't get the 6 here. I mean, it's similar to Washington in Atlanta where, okay, maybe the Rams are a smidge better, maybe a little something for home field, not much. We're getting a 6. I can't quite get there. I'll take the points here with Arizona.
I think that's a candidate for the Megapod answer to the question of what game do you want no part of for me, Cardinals at Rams. But 6, I understand the thought, though. That's a lot of points for sure.
It's a lot.
Before we go here, let's talk about something else we talked about on your podcast. Again, the Should Have Bet More podcast, which Will hosts, which is you me and Felica, we brought this up, or you brought this up a couple months ago, 3 months ago, whatever. It's like, okay, what will Ohtani open as MVP in the NL this coming season, the 2025 season? I said it would be minus money. You nailed it. I said minus 200, I believe. You nailed it. Plus 200, 2-1 is where Ohtani is. And your question to me the other night was this, you know, again, Will, the guy who, again, gave us Aaron Judge at 16-1 for AL MVP in the middle of May this past year on the show. You asked me, you know, is that a bet at plus 200? And my answer was absolutely. Like, what would have to happen for him not to win this? You are making that bet?
I am, unless you want to make the case, hey, voter fatigue, he gets hurt. I mean, how is he not going to win this award? And even though I thought it would open at plus 200, because we just don't see a minus number for guys to win season-long awards, as your buddy Chris Andrews likes to say, I like your number better. I think he should be minus 200. He hit 50 homers, stole 50 bases, and now you're going to put him back on the mound as like an ace. Okay, let's say the offense dips and he hits 34 homers. He has a really bad year, bad in quotes, bad year, and he hits 34 homers, and he pitches to like a 3.334 ERA. He's still like going to get every single first place vote. That's still a runaway MVP. Plus 200. I know people don't want to tie up their money. Hell, we just gave out the awards for last year, but you know, if you could bet it on credit or something, and I haven't shopped. That was the only book I saw at plus 200. But to me, anything plus money, especially 2-1, I think you just put it in your account and you kind of stash it. I think it's a good bet.
All right, Will, I'll talk to you in an hour for the Megapod, sir.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
I didn't get your kids any presents. Sorry about that.
It's 2 years in a row now.
Stop having so many kids. Maybe we can negotiate. Thank you, Will. Will Hill, everybody. Not the Will Hill. That's two E's on the V. Bill Connolly from ESPN, the founder of SP Plus, College Football Analytic, on the other side to talk some college football playoff with us. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, horse racing fans, get ready to play the ponies with our friends at First Bet on opening day at Santa Anita Park, happening this Thursday, December 26th. 2 days from now, Santa Anita, California's premier horse racing venue, and Thursday's action features the Grade 1 Malibu Stakes starring Kentucky Derby winner Mystic Dan. Sign up today at firstbet.com with promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on your bets for the first 60 days, up to $200. And here's a special offer for this week only. New customers get up to $25 back if you bet Mike Somich's Santa Anita opening day best bet and it does not win. Don't miss out on all the excitement. Visit firstbet.com. That's firstbet.com and sign up now. We appreciate it, Gil Alexander, all the tweets at Beating the Book. Buddhist Man, speaking of nonsense in-game prices, watching the game Sunday with my buddy, and after Jalen Hurts was declared out and the Eagles had taken a 21-7 lead, we tried to price the Skins money line against Kenny Pickett. We came up with around 4-1. DraftKings had plus 650. Very quickly, so did we, as he bet it right at that moment. Colin Murphy talking about the Christmas list coming up. He says, check out DMX rapping Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Pure gold. You won't regret it. DMX did not make the top 10. I'm sorry. Jimmy Lopez. DraftKings has 15-1 odds that on your Christmas list is Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. That did not make it as well. Jimmy Lopez did not cash. Bill Walsh. Not that Bill Walsh, but a different Bill Walsh. Nothing embodies the Christmas spirit more than threatening those who don't like the same holiday songs you do over social media. You do you, Gil. I won't judge you for listening to the Chipmunks at AC/DC's Mistress for Christmas on loop this holiday season. No, please don't judge me for that. And Larry Fresh, when I heard Will Hill faded the Skins but said we could both win, I immediately heard Todd Wishnev's voice saying, wait a minute, I'm hearing something and coming up with a scenario where you both lose. He would absolutely have done that. We will get to the Christmas songs coming up. But first, it is our pleasure, because this is around the time we always have him on, and he's kind enough to come on short notice here this week. He is a pioneer in college football analytics. He is the author, if you will, of something called SP+. It's a tempo and opponent-adjusted measure of college football efficiency, which he conceived back in the day in 2008 when he used to hang with our buddy Aaron Schatz over there at Football Outsiders. Now, of course, he does his stuff at ESPN. He has done so for many, many years. And SP+, by the way, intended to be predictive and forward-facing. It's our friend Bill Connolly, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN_BillC. How you doing, Bill? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. I'm doing well.
I hope I did SP Plus justice with that intro.
Yeah, it's really kind of hard to describe in under like 6 minutes, so I think you did a pretty good job there.
All right, now let's just get to, before we move on to the quarterfinals and to winning the whole thing in college football, let's just talk about the first round for a second. I'm assuming, you know what they say about assuming, but I'm going to guess that your numbers couldn't have possibly reflected the nature of the the quadruple blowouts we had.
Yeah, no, I apply, I think, a 2.5-point home field advantage, not a 20-point home field advantage. Therefore, the numbers were a little bit off there. I mean, Texas, Clemson was close, obviously. And honestly, Notre Dame, Indiana ended up close thanks to a couple garbage time touchdowns. But no, obviously, the books, SP Plus, everything else saw at least three competitive games, and we got zero. So yeah, it is what it is sometimes.
Let me ask you a non-quantitative question, but a qualitative one. Did you like that it was played on home fields? Would you like to have seen that in this coming week as well?
The thought of Penn State playing on the Boise Blue Field sounds spectacular.
I agree.
And I think that was the main thing I think a lot of people took away from the first round. Like, yeah, there were mismatches, and college football has a lot of mismatches, and it happens, that we get around like that sometimes. But the home field part was great. South Bend on Friday night was great. Penn State openly impacted Kevin Jennings and SMU. It was just like this new substance that we discovered. Playoff home field advantage was something different. And yeah, like rounding that into this coming week where you got Penn State at Boise State, Pitt, Texas at Arizona State. This idea, we're already weighing whether the buys are worth it, or the conference title buys and whatnot, and should Boise State have gotten the 3 seed, all that. But I think that would make it a lot more interesting if we not only guarantee 4 conference champions buys, but home games. That'd be pretty fun. And we'd get a lot of matchups like Penn State, Boise State. I think we would have been doing a lot.
Yeah. Poor Kevin Jennings, by the way. He so wants a mulligan on that. That was just awful to watch. Mm-hmm. Then who were the biggest movers among the teams that played and that have advanced here? Who was the biggest mover of them all? I would imagine Ohio State, I'm guessing.
Well, Ohio State was already number one, so they gained. Their rating went up in SP+, but only by, like, I think just under a point, if I remember right.
Okay.
The losers dropped more than the winners rose, which was kind of interesting. But I guess it really does have to do with the fact that they were already near the top. I think basically all the winners ended up rising by kind of half point to a point. Texas ended up basically breaking even. So that was kind of, it judged the losers more harshly than it, said anything good about the winners, apparently.
So who is, of the 8 teams remaining then, what do your numbers indicate is the short shot, if you will? Like, if you were having your own betting market based on your numbers exclusively, who's at the top of this list, which a lot of people still feel is pretty much wide open?
Yeah, no, right now, I think it's 6 teams have between a 13% and a 20% chance in SP+. to win the title. And part of that is because of the way the bracket currently lays out. The top two teams in SP Plus are Ohio State and Oregon. They play each other. The third best remaining team is Texas, who will probably play the winner of that in the next round. So certainly, you know, Penn State isn't graded out as highly, but they have a good draw. You know, the draw plays a role here, but I don't mind that at all. It looks like it's going to be super fun to follow along. But yeah, if SP Plus was setting the lines, Ohio State would be the title favorite, just slightly because of the draw, but they'd be the favorite.
So you just alluded to it there, because that was my biggest takeaway, and I think it's not an original one. I think a lot of people have this, which is, couldn't the committee have sort of, and I don't want to use the word manipulate, because that sounds like it's some, you know, you have some ill intentions with it. But if they maybe if they proper seated it differently, and might not even be improper, where Oregon didn't have to play Ohio State in this round, which some people feel is a de facto national championship, but it doesn't bother you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is where, you know, watching tennis through the years, watching ESPN soccer through the years, I'm kind of used to weird draws at this point. So that is kind of, I've been trained in that regard to accept that this stuff happens. Also, I do like the principle of making conference titles matter more. We made sure that making the conference title game mattered by not really punishing SMU all that much for losing their conference title game. We made sure that, you know, four different conference championship games in championship weekend decided huge stakes in that regard. And this is what you get. You get kind of weirdness if you're basically saying the top four are going to be from somewhere among the top 12 teams. And then, you know, you seed it from there, you're going to get weird stuff. And there's no question that it hurt Ohio State and Tennessee the most because they landed in that 8-9 spot instead of like a 6-7. But, you know, Ohio State already has a ton of resource advantages over most of college football. A harder draw, oh well.
You're not crying for them, is what you're saying. I get it.
No, all right. Not so much.
So when we get to these quarterfinal games now, Penn State, an 11-point favorite against Boise State. Texas, a 13.5-point favorite over a pretty feisty offense in ASU. The most closely lined games are the Rose Bowl, or at the Rose Bowl and the Superdome. Rose Bowl might as well be a Pac-12 versus a Big Ten, right? We get Ohio State, Oregon. Ohio State favored by 2.5, and then Georgia without Carson Beck, still a 2.5-point favorite. This is interesting, against Notre Dame. Where lies the value per your numbers, sir?
Well, I would say the biggest value here with the numbers is, you know, the numbers don't know that Carson Beck is out. I guess they also don't know that Riley Mills is out now. So it kind of, but quarterbacks still trump defensive ends in value, but it still says Georgia by, I think, 0.5. So if you factor in injuries at all, you end up kind of swaying towards Notre Dame by maybe 0.5 or 1. And the line seems to be disagreeing in that regard. So there seems to be a little value there. SP Plus also really doesn't like Arizona State. It kind of made its decision on them in October and only moved them up to about, I think, 30th when they kind of got hot late in the year. They finished the regular season overachieving against those projections pretty massively. So maybe there's value there, but I guess they've also had like 4 weeks off now, so maybe that cancels out. That part's kind of interesting. If you think that Arizona State is better than SP Plus, then you know, that probably cancels out some value there. But I definitely think Notre Dame's an interesting one right now.
Yeah, beyond the numbers, did Texas giving up a whole bunch of yards to Clemson, you know, give you pause a little bit?
It was confusing because it was the first time Texas's offense really hit projections in like five games. But then it was, it kind of was countered with some massive underachievement. I Clemson found most of its value throwing deep or throwing intermediate passes. And that's not really Arizona State's thing. They don't have any receivers. They had one receiver this season and he got hurt. So it was just random guys running, you know, deep routes against Iowa State, and it worked. But their value comes from running the ball. And we don't necessarily know that Texas is any worse at that than they were, you know, in the SEC championship. So maybe that doesn't apply.
Bill, I really appreciate it, man. Happy holidays. Before you go, real quick, have you had a chance to dive into your tennis numbers? And can you tell us who's going to win the women's side of the Australian Open? No, not yet.
Oh, man, I love the women's tour right now because I have absolutely no idea from tournament to tournament who's best. I guess it's Zabalenka still. But it's every draw you start realizing, you see the third round matchups, you're like, wait, they're playing in the third round?
Yeah.
It's a really, really deep field. I like it a lot.
I can't wait. Thank you, Bill. Happy holidays, man.
You too.
Bill Connolly, everybody, right here in A Numbers Game. Christmas list is next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up at the show, or after the show, top of the hour, after a Numbers Game, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Stormy and Jeff Schwartz doing their thing from noon to 2 today, noon to 2 Eastern, followed by Prop Points from 2 to 3 with John Hansen. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. I think Scott Seidenberg is in for Adam Schein today from 3 to 4. That's what's coming up on VSiN, the sports betting network, which brings us to our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, and we have a bevy of bets on the show. Can I say bevy? Starting with mine, I'm on the Commanders. I got the worst of it here, -4.5, hosting the Falcons on Sunday. It's down to 4. It went against me. I'm on the Chiefs, laying 2.5 against the Steelers tomorrow, Christmas Day football. I took the Panthers plus the points on Sunday against the Buccaneers. I got them +8.5, and I got the Lions laying the 3.5 Monday night against the San Francisco 49ers. Not listed. I am on San Jose State tonight in the Hawaii Bowl. I'm on the Spartans laying 3. I actually bought it down to 2.5 in some spots as well. Nick Whalen from RotoWire was on the show today. He's got a bunch of football plays. Broncos Bengals over 49.5. He's on the Dolphins laying the points. 6.5, Ravens laying the points tomorrow against the Houston Texans. And in the NBA tomorrow, a full slate of NBA, not a full slate, but a full quintuple header of NBA. He's got the Lakers and the Dubs, the under 230 in the Lakers-Warriors games. He's laying the points with the Mavericks, laying 5. And then he's got the Sixers-Celtics over at 222 tomorrow in some Christmas Day NBA basketball. Sia Najad joined us from the Monumental Sports Network. He's on the Ravens as well tomorrow, laying the points at Houston. He's taking the points with the Steelers against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then on Sunday, he's got the Patriots catching the points as a home dog. Plus, he made a play on the Buccaneers to win the NFC South with just 2 games remaining in the season. Bucks need some help, but Bucks have a very easy schedule. He's got them at -135 to win the AFC South. And then Will Hill joins us for a couple segments. He is on South Florida tonight. We are Oppo in the Hawaii Bowl. He's taking the Bulls, taking the points against San Jose State. Then he's on North Carolina as Bill Belichick looms now over the program. He's taking Carolina, laying the points, and he's got the Vandy Georgia Tech under 51.5. That's on Friday. The Carolina game is on Saturday. Football, we are Oppo on the Falcons and the Skins. He's taking the points with the Falcons. He's taking the points with the eliminated Cardinals, taking the 6 against the Los Angeles Rams, and he has made his bet already on the National League MVP, and I do not blame him. I need to make this as well. Shohei to win NL MVP at 2-1 odds. Best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. If you're serious about sports betting, you need the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. Even when you put your own money on the card, G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're typically saving up to 3-5% on cash advances fees right there, right now. For a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Rick Olier, let's skip the top of the list and go directly to the worst Christmas songs. McCartney's song should be number 1 with a bullet. Oh, God, now it's stuck in my head. Rando baseball player of the day, Alan Wiggins. It's Andrew Wiggins' father, by the way. Brosek 1870. You need to get some value from working with Darnold. You tag and trade him. Talking about our Sam Darnold talk earlier. John Balducci, I haven't seen the list yet, but I already know it's wrong and it sucks. Merry Christmas and happy Hanukkah. Doug Wedge, always kind. I said, happy holidays all around the VSiN host and crews that keep my favorite shows going. Life would suck without you. He's given us a shout-out. He's given Megapod a shout-out. He's given Follow the Money a shout-out and all the handicappers as well. Happy holidays to you and yours. And finally, Roger Jones at Brocco Wins. Look at you, Gil, really holidaying it up by dropping an Easter egg using the word diaspora. That can only mean VR will be on with you and Meltzer like Seltzer for the Lifestyle Megapod in a few weeks. We got to get VR on either for that one or for week 18 in the Megapod. We'll see which he prefers. Happy holiday to you and yours, and Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is that you're celebrating. Happy Kwanzaa as well. Here's the deal. I do not celebrate Christmas, but I love Christmas. I have loved Christmas since I was a little boy, to the point where I say to everybody, if you don't love Christmas, what the hell's wrong with you? Who doesn't love Christmas? It's a beautiful time of year. People wishing each other the best. People are nicer. And I can tell you that when I was a kid, a little boy, And my mom broke the news to me, and she said it. And by the way, she said it way too nonchalantly when she told me. You should be softer with a little boy. She was like, Santa doesn't come to our house. And she sort of giggled, and I didn't like my mom that day very much at all. And I thought to myself, what a raw deal. How do I get out of this Judaism thing so I can get Santa to come to my house? But I'll tell you what made up for it. Great Christmas songs through the years, and it's time for our annual numbers game, Christmas song list. We don't have any cool intro. I do have some honorable mention, though. A few songs here that didn't make the top 10, but they deserve a shout. The Waitresses, Christmas Rapping. Chris Velika introduced me to this song a few years back. It's cool. I like it. Not quite a top tenner, but Christmas Rapping by The Waitresses absolutely deserves a mention. So too does Hallelujah, a soulful celebration, Handel's Messiah. This was a Quincy Jones production. If you like a gospel-y Christmas song, I point you to Hallelujah by Handel's Messiah, soulful celebration, just a absolutely great chorus to play on Christmas Eve morning or on Christmas Day itself or beyond. And then Baby It's Cold Outside, I promised an honorable mention. This is a holiday classic. The Bobby Caldwell Vanessa Williams version is the go-to for me. That is a honorable mention, top 10 Christmas jam of all time. Baby It's Cold Outside, by the way, a little bit of a Me Too song in this generation. Some of the lyrics, not so fun for folks. I don't care. I still love it. Sorry. All right, here's your top 10 list. Number 10. 10, 9, and 8 are versions of classics. You're going to hear lots of artists do certain of the Christmas standards. 10, Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy, David Bowie and Bing Crosby. This gets on the top 10 list, just makes it. It's sort of a old school mashup. You know how the kids love their mashups? This is a Christmas holiday mashup with Bing doing Little Drummer Boy in the background and David Bowie doing the high notes on this. That's number 10. Number 9, the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, a classic which has been done a million times by so many artists. My favorite version is Al Jarreau's version, the late, great Al Jarreau, who has one of the great voices of all time. The Temptations and Silent Night. If you have a Christmas list that does not include The Temptations Silent Night, you're doing it wrong. It's a classic 6-minute version from The Temptations featuring the falsetto of The Temptations in this one. It is absolutely beautiful. You got to have that. And as far as the top 7, now it gets original. Number 7. Remember, it's my list. I don't care what you say. Number 7. You may know Ray Parker Jr. from the 80s hit Ghostbusters. Got himself a Christmas song, and it is awesome. Ray Parker Jr.'s Christmas Time is Here. When we were talking about the Yacht Rock doc a few weeks back, someone put out their favorite Yacht Rock jams of all time, and this actually made it, which I didn't really associate the two, but I just love it as a Christmas song. Ray Parker Jr.'s Christmas Time is Here, number 7 on the list. And then number 6, making its debut on the top 10 list, it's also a Christmas classic, but it's done by Sean Colvin. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I cannot recommend this high enough. It is a very soulful version of Have Yourself a Merry Christmas with just absolutely great vocals from Sean Colvin. It's from the 90s, which brings us to our top 5. And boy, oh boy, does the tension mount. You guys have bets on this? I know you do. Number 5. Remember, it's my list. All I Want for Christmas Is You from Mariah Carey. This is from the 1990s. I remember when it came out, you knew it was destined for stardom. It eventually became a number one song in the country. Say what you will, but Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is absolutely a top fiver with great male background vocals. Gotta love when it's a female lead and the male background vocals. All I Want for Christmas Is You, number 5 on the all-time list. New additions. It's Christmas All Over the World, number 4. If you're an R&B person, you know this song. If you're not, you probably don't. New Edition, known for more bubblegum hits when they were kids and later more adult sound. But this was the big hit off their Christmas album. It's awesome. It's Christmas All Over the World by New Edition, number 4. Number 3, classic, Paul McCartney. I know somebody just had him number 1 on their list. I got it at number 3. I know folks think, that they play it too much. It's too much. Makes me smile every time, people. I don't care. Paul McCartney. A Wonderful Christmas Time, number 3 on the list. Now, this was a big debate between 1 and 2. 1 was almost unseated. Almost. Number 2, no judgments. Wham! Last Christmas. In fact, if you have Netflix, there is a full documentary now about Wham's Last Christmas. It's over an hour long about the conceiving of this song. Now, George Michael's one sort of wish when he was at the height of his fame in 1984 with Wham was he had to have a number one Christmas song. He got it with Last Christmas by Wham 39 years after it was released. It finally got to number one. Last Christmas by Wham, infectious, number two Christmas song of all time. And the number one Christmas jam of all time for the third year in a row on this show. I think we've been doing it for 3 years. Maybe we've done it for more. Donny Hathaway's This Christmas. If you know, you know. If you don't know, now you know. The absolute most soulful Christmas song of them all. This Christmas by Donny Hathaway. Number one once again on the Numbers Game Top 10 Christmas Jams of All Time list. Thank you for listening. Go debate. I'm still keeping my list. Money Moves is next with Stormy. Right here at VSiN.